This is the Holy Spirit and His Gifts, session number 9, May the 20th, 2003. When we dismissed, we were talking about divine healing. We were talking about the fact that there are two streams of divine healing. First of all, there is healing by the Word of God. And that even though we have the Spirit of God within us, and Romans 8:11 says He will quicken and make alive our mortal body, it requires the Word of God for that healing to manifest. The Word of God is the fuel. The Word of God is the impetus that causes the Spirit of God to move, just like in the process of the creation. But I do want you to realize that there are four characteristics of receiving healing by the Word. Four characteristics of receiving healing by the Word. Turn with me first of all to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost because I keep hearing the eagles singing "Welcome to the Hotel California." So I'm going to have to pray or something. I don't know why I keep hearing that. All righty. Such a lovely place. Yes. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. All right. Yeah. Oh. That's a possibility. Mark chapter 16. Let's begin with the 15th verse. Jesus is giving the Great Commission, and He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned or damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe." Now believe what? Believe the Word, right? "These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." The reason that I'm bringing this out, particularly where it says, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover," the literal Greek text says, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall begin to recover from that moment." They shall begin to recover from that moment. The reason I'm bringing this out to you is the first characteristic that I want you to see when it comes to receiving healing from the Word is that it is a process. It is a process. A lot of times people have the idea that healing is just this instantaneous kawam and you got it, but it's not. Many times, particularly when you're receiving healing from the Word, it is a process. The second characteristic that I want you to see is that many times when you're receiving healing by the Word, there is no feeling involved. You don't feel that power working. You don't have any goosebumps. You don't see the clouds part. You don't get lightning bolts, honey buckets, glory balls, nothing. That healing is working within you. That healing power is working within you. There's no feeling. The third characteristic is that faith is required by the receiver. The person that's needing the healing. If they receive healing by the Word, then it's required that they believe the Word of God. So faith is required by the receiver. The fourth characteristic is that the healing power from the Word is available to whosoever will believe it. It is available to whosoever will believe it. So again, let me give you those four characteristics. Number one, it is a process. Number two, there is no feeling to it very often. Number three, faith is required by the receiver. And number four, it is available to whosoever will. Now that's healing by the Word. We doing okay? Okay. Now, that is receiving healing by the Word. Well, hopefully now we've got the technical difficulties cleared up. There is healing from the Word. Y'all still hearing it out there? Not like you were. There's healing from the Word. That's one stream of receiving divine healing. The other stream of receiving divine healing is by a tangible anointing. A tangible anointing. Now let me just give you the definition of tangible. The word tangible means capable of being felt or touched. Capable of being felt or touched. And when you're dealing with the gifts of healings, you're dealing with a tangible anointing. Now, in receiving healing with a tangible anointing, let me give you some of the characteristics of it, and you'll discover that they are different than receiving healing by the Word. First of all, when you're receiving healing from a tangible anointing, it may or may not require faith on the part of the receiver. It may or may not require faith on the part of the receiver. Secondly, when you're receiving healing from a tangible anointing, you're dealing with a manifestation of God's power. That healing is usually instant or immediate. That healing is usually instant or immediate. It occurs in a very short period of time after the person is ministered to. I learned this in a very vital way watching Vicki Jameson minister on television years ago. She ministers in a very tangible anointing. She ministers in the gifts of healings. I was watching her on television, and she came up. Man came up in the prayer line. She was ministering, and she said, "Do you need healing?" He said, "Huh? Do you need healing? Huh? You having trouble with your ears?" "No, I'm having trouble with my ears." So she laid hands on him. She prayed. Now watch it. She laid hands on him. She prayed. And she said, "Can you hear anything?" And he said, "Well, by faith I receive, blah, 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 blah." She said, "That's not what I asked you. I said, can you hear anything?" "Well, by faith, sister, I receive, blah, 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 blah." You don't get it. Can you hear anything? No. She laid hands on him again. "Can you hear anything?" No. She did it three times. God opened his ears. Now, if I can hear a little bit out here now too. Now, if we were dealing with the prayer of faith, let's say, for instance, them that believe, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover, and say Sharon comes up here for healing, and I'm not under any particular anointing. She just said, I want you to pray for me. I'm sick. Okay, we'll just agree together. Them that believe will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I lay hands on her. No change. Now, would it be faith or unbelief for me to pray for her again? It'd be unbelief, wouldn't it? Because if I pray for her again, then it just says I didn't pray the first time in faith. Right? But that's receiving healing through the Word. That's receiving healing by the prayer of faith. But when it comes to ministering under a tangible anointing, if I was under a tangible healing anointing and I laid hands on her and the gifts of healings were in operation, and I said, all right, Sharon, are the symptoms gone? No. Pray again. Why? Because you're releasing a tangible anointing. One, even though the actions are the same, in one instance, a second prayer would be an act of unbelief. In the other instance, it would not. Because in one deal, you're dealing with faith and you're dealing with things invisible. In the other one, you are dealing with a manifestation of God's healing power. Now, do you see that? Can you see the difference? You can? Okay. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Let's see this. In the ministry of Jesus. Mark chapter 8. Let's begin reading with verse 22. Says, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. He prayed for him twice, didn't he? Why? Because he was releasing a tangible anointing of healing power. Now, as I said to you, when that anointing is on you and you're ministering, the healing is either instantaneous or immediate. I know Thad and Sharon have listened to my tapes on the gifts of the Spirit, and I share in those tapes about one of the most dramatic manifestations of that healing anointing was years ago. We became involved with a Nazarene church, or at least a minister that had come out of the Nazarene church, and they were still very conservative and all of this. They'd gotten spirit filled and all of this was like really new and different and strange and all of that, and their services were still very, very formal. I mean, still very straight laced. And then we showed up. And anyway, one of the first Sunday service that we were involved in this church, I mean, we go through, we're singing a couple of choruses. This is the day. This is the day. All of that. We go through all these choruses and we have church and all that kind of stuff. Get through. And the pastor told me later, he said, I never had done this before, but he said, after the service, I asked the question, does anybody have anything? And I said, somebody here needing healing. So I walk up and I said, there's some people here, you're having trouble with your sinuses. If you'll come up, let me lay hands on you, God will heal you. So like about 10 or 12 people come up. And you got to realize, this is a formal thing, that, and they're trying to go charismatic. But it's still very formal, very straight, and they're all the women are there and they're all dressed up nice and all of this kind of stuff. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I just knew that healing anointing was on me. And they came up, I put my hands on their head, And all I said was, "Be loosed! I command those sinuses to loosen." And when I did that, snot just poured out. People grabbing the Kleenex boxes, and here's these women all dressed up in their nice clothes, and they got snot just running, and they can't find any Kleenex boxes, and they and they're grabbing, and it's running down their hand and stuff. I mean, it's just gross. But it was that tangible healing power. Now, I'll tell you, when that tangible healing power is in operation, God will have you do some pretty wild stuff. He will. He'll have you do some pretty wild stuff. They're wiping on each other's clothes and all that. I love you, sister. There was one situation where that healing anointing was on me, and I called a guy out. His name was Eddie Cuellar. Little old bitty short guy. If you ever see him, he's got the biggest, toothiest grin in the whole world. And Eddie's just a sweetheart. And I called him out and I said, "You need to come up here and let me pray for you. Stomach trouble or something. I don't remember." But he's walking up towards the front, and the Lord said, "When he gets up here, punch him in the stomach." And Eddie's got this big old grin. He's walking up to the front, and he walks up there. Oh, the Lord said, "Punch him in the stomach." So he walks up there like that, and he went, "Oh, oh!" And I'm thinking, "Oh God!" He's like that, and he goes, "Praise God, praise God!" And I said, "Well, is there anybody else here that needs healing?" And everybody went, "Oh no, oh no, no. We're okay. I'm healed." That helped it. That fix it? Okay. Need my clip. Another situation that happened was one lady that she lives down below Rock Springs, Barksdale, a lady by the name of Carolyn Revis, had bad arthritis in her hands. And she wanted to play the piano, but she couldn't because her hands hurt so bad. And I said, "Well, come on up here." So she walked up. And did you ever play that game where you put the palms of your hands like that and somebody puts their hands in yours and then you slap them like that and they try to move them out of the way? I didn't know what I was going to do next, but I did my hands like that, and I never do that, but I just did my hands like that, and she put the palms of her hands in mine, and the Lord said, "Slap them." And I mean, her hands are hurting. Arthritis. And I hold like that, and I just went bam like that, and it looked like I hit her in the face with a cold, wet rag. I mean, like that. And I said, "Go play the piano." And she walked over there and sat down. Started playing. But that's the gifts of healings in manifestation. What? I was listening to a tape by Rick Renner going to Andrews. There was one lady, and you got to understand, Rick Renner is very, very conservative. No, this is a different one. He's a very conservative guy. She was having trouble in her back. Her back was hurting. And she walked up to the front, and he said, "Bend over." And she bent over, and he popped her on the bottom. I mean, wham! Popped her on the bottom, and she was healed. She was healed. Do what? I never have had to spit on anybody. Never have had to do that. Did it where she spit on him? So God will have you do some different things. But that's part of how this tangible anointing manifests. It just, there are different ways that God will use you in it. You want to share with the rest of the class or not? You notice she said that she wanted to see it, not be a participant. Yeah. She just... But God can use you in some very unique ways when that healing anointing is in manifestation. You need to realize too also that this healing anointing is very specific. It can be very specific. You'll remember in John chapter 5 where Jesus ministered to the man at the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible says that there were many sick people there, but He only went to the one person. Why? Because this healing anointing many times is specific. It's specific. It's for individuals. Now, if Jesus had gone in there to that pool of Bethesda and had preached the Word, whosoever believed it could have received. Okay? But many times this gift, when it's in manifestation, is for specific individuals. And let me just say this. We talked earlier about that gift being manifested like you have different healing anointings for different sicknesses. I have called people up, for instance, say if the Lord showed me that there was somebody there maybe that had a hurt knee. I have called people up and prayed for them with their hurt knee. They would go back and sit down, and I'd say something else like, there's somebody here, you're having tension in your neck. And they would come back up. Now, why is that the case? Because there was one anointing being ministered to that knee, and there was another anointing being ministered to that neck. Now, you need to realize, too, that if you're sitting out there and somebody calls up and says, there's somebody here that you've got a hurt foot, and your hand is hurting, don't go up and be prayed for your hand. That anointing is specific, not only to the person, but it's also to parts of the body. You also need to realize, too, that... Can I help y'all? All righty. When you're receiving from that gift, when you're receiving from that gift and receiving from that anointing, there are times, like for instance, I've called people out and said, all right, there's somebody here you're having trouble with your knees. I may have five people come up with bad knees. God will honor their faith in that regard. But there have been times that I've said, there's somebody here you're having trouble, say, with your knees. Five people come up. I'd pray for all of them. All of them would get healed. But when I would lay hands on the one that it was specifically for, I knew it. So, you need to realize that there are areas where this gift is specific. You also need to know that this anointing flows differently to the world than it does to the church. Now, in the power gifts, you're going to see the power gifts, gift of faith, gifts of healings, workings of miracles. You're going to see the power gifts of the Spirit predominantly in the ministry of the evangelist. The evangelist is unique in that his ministry is to the world. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, and the teacher are more specifically to the church. But the evangelist is the one office of ministry that is specifically to the world, and you'll see the gifts of power manifest more through the evangelist than you do any other office. In the same way that the revelation gifts manifest through the prophet's ministry, the power gifts manifest through the ministry of the evangelist. The reason for that is because the healing power of God is God's calling card to the world. There are a lot of sick, hurting people out there that need healing in their bodies, and God captures their attention by healing their body. Now, Lord, where do you want me to take this? Let me just say this about the healing power. This healing power being manifested to the world, it's also true for spiritual babies and so forth that are new in the things of God. A lot of times it'll flow the same way through them. When the healing power of God, when that tangible anointing is flowing to the world, you need to realize that many times that anointing comes on the person's flesh. It comes on their flesh. Consequently, there's not any faith required on their part at all. And there are many people, particularly in Catherine Kuhlman's ministry, but it's also true in Benny Hinn's, for instance. But I've heard many testimonies from Catherine Kuhlman's ministry where they'd say, you know, I didn't even believe in God. Wasn't even sure there was a God. And I got drug off to this Catherine What's-Her-Name's meeting, got up here and sitting there, and I mean, I got here and I was sick and hurting and everything else. I'm just sitting there watching everything, and all of a sudden, wham, God just healed me just like that. And I didn't even believe in God. Well, same thing. She got born again as a result of that healing power. She was a Buddhist. She wasn't believing anything, but that healing power came on her flesh. See, now when it comes to ministry to the church, the healing power to the church, it doesn't ordinarily just come on the flesh. You remember we read in Romans 8:11 that the Spirit that dwells in you will quicken and make alive your mortal body? If we had somebody come in and the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, and they came in, they weren't born again like this Buddhist person, this lady, this Buddhist lady. If I laid hands on her, that power would come on her flesh. God would heal her. Now, if I walked over here to Nicole, same prayer line, and laid hands on her, that power will not go into her onto her flesh first. That power, because she is a believer, that power first goes into her spirit and then back out into her body. Consequently, faith is going to be required on her part. Do you follow that? That Buddhist didn't have to believe anything. But Nicole would be required to believe something because that power would be going into her spirit, then back into her flesh. Now, let me just share this with you. Here's Catherine Kuhlman. She's an evangelist. People got healed in her ministry, or Benny Hinn, like Sister Jessie was talking about, Benny Hinn, where that Buddhist lady was there and wham, God healed her and so forth. Okay? Now, listen to what the Lord said to Kenneth Hagin in the 1950s. The 1950s, the Lord appeared to Kenneth Hagin. Matter of fact, I think it was 1950. The Lord appeared to Brother Hagin, told him to stick out his hands. Brother Hagin did that. Jesus stuck the finger of his right hand in the palms of both of Brother Hagin's hands. Now, listen to what the Lord said to him. The Lord told him, He said, when you go now, you've been anointed with healing power in your hands. He said, when you go and minister to my people, Brother Hagin's not an evangelist, he's a prophet. His ministry's to the church. He said, you tell my people that I appeared to you. You tell them that I put the finger of my right hand in the palms of both of your hands. You tell them that you operate in a tangible anointing of healing. You tell them that when you lay hands on them, that if they will believe that I appeared to you, that I put my fingers in your hands, and that you are under a tangible anointing, if they will believe that, then that anointing will go in them and effect a healing and a cure. Can you see the difference? With the believer, even under a tangible anointing, faith is required. Even if it's something as minuscule as just believing the guy that's praying for you is anointed. But faith is going to be demanded in that regard. Why? Because it flows differently to the church than it does to the world. Now, many of you have experienced the healing anointing of God in your body, not just receiving, but in ministering it. Many of you feel that anointing in your hands. I predominantly, when that anointing is in my hands, I feel heat. My hands get very, very hot. Sometimes I've had it manifest in my hands, feels like an electric current, like a tingle, maybe running from my elbow down to my hand. You know, if you've ever hit your elbow real hard and you feel that tingle go all the way down, sometimes it feels similar to that. There are times when I pray for people and that anointing, healing anointing, goes into manifestation. For lack of a better term, it feels magnetic. It almost feels like if I lay hands on them, it almost feels like my hands melt into their face. There's just this magnetic drawing quality. And there have been times when I've been praying for somebody and started to walk away and my hands, I couldn't get my hands off their face. It was like I was stuck to it. Sometimes it has a magnetic quality about it. Sometimes it manifests as oil. It feels like an oily substance in the hands. We had a friend of ours in Oklahoma that healing anointing would start flowing in her hands, and she would open her hands and she would take and she would just start pouring from one hand to the other. Remember that? And it would drip, literally drip out of her hands. It wasn't sweat. That healing anointing was coming out in the form of oil. So many times it will come out in that way. Predominantly, when that healing anointing is in manifestation, it can come out in one of two ways. It can come out as a spoken word, "Be thou made whole." But predominantly, it is manifested through physical contact. Lay hands, pray. And let me just say this. The more anointed you are, the less you have to pray. The more anointed you are, the less you have to pray. A lot of times, if you're under that anointing, you don't have to pray nothing. You don't have to pray anything. Because it'll just happen. I had that happen to me in Mexico. I had an anointing hit me. This was in, I think 95. I was on the platform and that anointing hit me and I knew that it was going to be very brief and it was going to lift and I had to touch as many people as I possibly could. And I just started touching them. They started falling. I started running down the aisle. This was a church that had about 600-700 people in it. And I started running down the aisle and I would touch the people on the end of the aisles and they started falling out about 6 deep down the aisles. And it was on concrete floor and metal chairs. But the more you're anointed, the less you actually have to pray, because that anointing will be there. All right, how much time we got? 8 minutes. Let's talk a little bit about the working of miracles. The working of miracles. Let me just give you the definition of a miracle. A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. It's a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. Look at your syllabus on page 21. I'm going to have to find it myself here. All right. The working of miracles defined. The working of miracles are acts of power. The Greek word is dunamis, which means power or mighty work. According to the Greek concordance, this word can also mean explosions of almightiness or impelling, staggering wonders of astonishment. It is a supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. That's a good definition. Supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. I love this. It's not a sunset. Oh, I just look at a sunset. I just know it's such a miracle. No, I didn't. It's not a sunset, a miracle drug, the birth of a baby, or even salvation, which is a supernatural act in the spirit realm. In the area of healing, many times miracles are received, but this is not necessarily the working of miracles. Most can simply be called healing miracles. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. A miracle alters, suspends, or controls natural law. A miracle alters, suspends, or controls natural law. Now, the difference between the working of miracles and the gift of faith, they're related, but they're different. We talked earlier in discussing the gift of faith that the gift of faith is passive. You just receive a miracle. You just receive it. You don't do anything. When it comes to the working of miracles, it is active. It's not passive. When you're under an anointing for the working of miracles, and I have to confess to you of the gifts of the Spirit that I've been involved with, to my knowledge, I've never been used in the working of miracles. But in the working of miracles, it is active in that you do something. You have some examples in your syllabus beginning on page 21. Moses and the Israelites, Exodus 7, 9 through 12. Aaron threw down his rod and it turned into a serpent. He was doing something. Aaron hit the dust with his rod and it turned into lice. Moses stretched forth his rod and the Lord sent thunder and hail. Moses stretched forth his rod and the Red Sea divided. The gift of faith is what kept it divided. That's a very good point. So many times these power gifts work together. Under the ministry of Joshua, the sun stopped in the sky while Joshua and the armies of Israel defeated their enemies. Samson slew a lion with his bare hands. In Elijah's ministry, Elijah and the widow's cruse of oil, which didn't fail until every vessel she had was filled. Elijah called for fire from heaven, which consumed the sacrifice and the stone altar. Under Elisha's ministry, Elisha divided a stream by the sweep of a mantle. Solid iron axe head was made to float in water. Acts 38, 1 through 8, the shadow on the sundial went back 10 steps. Other examples of miracles in the New Testament, Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus miraculously fed 5,000. Jesus cursed a fig tree and it died overnight. A multitude of fish filled the disciples' net when they let it down at Jesus' instruction. A man's withered hand was restored. A miracle carried out divine judgment on Ananias and Sapphira. Elymas the sorcerer withstood Paul and was struck blind for a season. So that's some examples of the gift of the working of miracles. Again, what we just talked about, you have this in your syllabus, the gift of faith versus the gift of the working of miracles. The gift of the working of miracles actively does something. It's more of an action. It performs a miracle. The gift of special faith passively expects a miracle. It is more of a process. You're just waiting and receiving from God. It receives a miracle. It's not uncommon for the gift of faith to receive an instantaneous result. At other times, it may be that nothing is seen to confirm that the answer has come. However, when the gift of faith is operating through a person, the person knows without a doubt that it's already been done. That is so powerful. Special faith may carry over a long period of time. As I said to you, I believe that was true concerning the building of the church. Both of these gifts deliver from danger. Paul received the gift of faith for divine protection in the storm. Jesus rebuked the storm and it ceased. Both provide food. Ravens brought Elisha food. He received a miracle. Jesus multiplied bread and fish and fed 5,000. He worked a miracle. The importance of the working of miracles, believer participates in the same power of God that created the world. Just very quickly, concerning this, you can have the gifts of healings and working of miracles work together. They work together. But there is a difference between the two. When the working of miracles is in operation, it is creative. When the gifts of healings is in operation, it heals. In other words, let's say Sister Jessie broke her arm. Well, over a period of time, it would recover, even through medical science. But if we went over and prayed for her and laid hands on her, God could instantaneously speed up the process and her arm be healed like that. That's not a miracle because the laws of nature were not contradicted in any way. See, that would be healing. But let's say she was dying of a disease of some sort and there was no way she could be cured. There was no known physical cure. Her body couldn't be healed from it. There was no way. And we went in there and prayed for her and God instantly healed her. That would be miraculous because we've contradicted the laws of nature. We'll pick it up here. How much time? Okay. We'll pick it up here next time. We're just about done with working the miracles and then we'll go into the utterance gifts and finished up and do our test next week.